Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joseph gets more mention in the book of Genesis than anyone else. More than Adam and Eve, more than Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's for good reason. Joseph's life shows us how God turns evil into good and how mercy is shown even to those who don't deserve it. Let's see how. Joseph's father, Jacob, had 12 sons and a daughter. He should have loved them all equally, but Jacob loved Joseph more than the others. And as you can imagine, that created terrible family discord and jealousy and resentment. Joseph's brothers resented Joseph. They resented the preferential treatment he was getting. And it didn't help matters when Joseph told his brothers that he had dreams that they would be bowing before him. And Jacob, their father, made it even worse by giving Joseph a splendid coat of many colors, which filled his other children with rage. They'd had enough. Most of the brothers wanted Joseph dead. Reuben, the eldest, talked them out of it. And brother Judah, who plays a very important role here, suggested selling him into slavery. But that's not why. Now, that's a horrible thing to happen to anyone, to be sold into slavery. So Joseph was sold to traveling slave traders, and he eventually ended up in the employ of Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, and there Joseph's troubles only increased. He refused the advances of his master's wife, and so angrily she falsely had him accused and thrown into prison. And here's where we see the Lord's hand at work. While in prison, Joseph met two men who worked for the Pharaoh, the chief butler and the chief baker. One day they approached Joseph, who had a reputation for being able to interpret dreams. They had dreams. What do they mean? Well, bad news for the baker. He would be executed. Good news for the butler. He would be restored to his position within 3 days. And Joseph asked the butler, "Please remember me to Pharaoh." And the butler forgot. More and more time passed, and Joseph languished in prison. What would be on your mind if you were Joseph? Would you resent your father for not showing the proper love to all of his children equally? Would you curse your brothers for what they did to you? Would you hate Potiphar's wife for her lies? Would you swear never to help another Egyptian again or anyone else? Would you even blame God? Is this how you get treated for living a chaste and decent life? Is this what you get for following God? Hated, enslaved, wrongly accused, imprisoned, and forgotten? But don't forget, God is always in control, and he can turn evil into good, as the life of Joseph shows us. Well, one day the Pharaoh had some disturbing dreams. Finally, the butler remembered Joseph to him. Joseph was brought to the Pharaoh. He heard the dreams and correctly interpreted them. Pharaoh's dreams foretold 7 years of plenteous harvest, followed by 7 years of destructive drought. Joseph recommended to Pharaoh that food be stored and stockpiled during the 7 good years to last through the years of famine. Pharaoh thought that a good idea, so he placed Joseph in charge of the whole operation. He elevated Joseph to high rank over all of Egypt. And there Joseph stockpiled so much food over the next 7 years that people from all corners of the world came to Joseph to buy food from him. So through Joseph, Egypt and the Pharaoh prospered greatly. During the second year of the famine, Joseph's brothers finally had to go to Egypt to buy food. And there they saw the Egyptian officer and didn't recognize him, but they bowed before him, just as Joseph said they would do. They did not know it was the brother that they had sinned so grievously against. Now, they didn't recognize Joseph, but he sure recognized them. And he quietly set them up. Along with the food, Joseph had his silver cup planted in the knapsack of brother Benjamin, who had now become Jacob's favorite son. Obviously, Jacob never learned. And as they left, Joseph sent his servants to chase him down. And they discovered the stolen cup. And the servants brought the brothers back to Joseph for judgment. Now, that could be some real sweet revenge, right? Picture it. Joseph has his brothers in the palm of his hand. Those brothers must think they're done for. And that's where today's Bible lesson comes in from the book of Genesis. Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers, and what a shock. Those brothers were horrified at who Joseph had become, and even more horrified thinking about what they did to him. But here's where we see the mercy of the gospel at work. Remember, Jesus said in John's gospel, "Search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life, and they testify of me." And in the account of Joseph and his brothers, it is testifying to our Lord's saving work in saving the undeserving sinner from the curse of their sins. And later in this lengthy account of Joseph and his brothers, we see our Lord foreshadowed, especially in brother Judah. Now, years before, Judah helped save Joseph's life. "Don't kill him. Sell him into slavery." Well, now, Joseph, again, Joseph is putting on an act of, Benjamin will now be, the thief will stay here. And then the brothers begged, no, please don't do this. It'll kill our father. And Judah said, "Take me. Punish me in the place of Benjamin. I will take the blame. I will be Benjamin's substitute." And that, my friends, is a picture of Jesus. Judah offering to be his brother's substitute. Well, the gospel is that Jesus is your Judah. Jesus is your brother, and he is your substitute. You see, the day would come when Jesus would be born from the family line of brother Judah. Through King David, David was from the family of Judah. Through the Virgin Mary, she was of the family line of David and Judah. And this is why the book of Genesis gives so many pages to the life of Joseph and the events in his life. Genesis is foretelling the coming of our Savior. He would come from the family of Judah. And just as Judah offered to take the blame for someone else's sin, Jesus takes the blame for you and for me. Jesus is our substitute. That very important things we read in the Bible. Well, Joseph then tells his brothers that God's hand was always there, even through their terrible sin. He preserved Joseph, and he preserved all of Joseph's family for a purpose. Through what the brothers did, sinful as it was, Joseph was placed into a position where millions of hungry people throughout the known world could be fed. And later, countless believers would come to faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Joseph would later say to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about the present result, to preserve many people alive." And that remarkable statement is exactly what happened on that day in Egypt. Long ago, when a hungry family came to buy food from a man they had sinned against so grievously years before, from a father who'd sinned so grievously against his old family by playing favorites and causing the others to be filled with resentment, God turned all that evil into good. He preserved not just one family, but the entire Hebrew race from whom came our Savior, Jesus Christ. Joseph told them to settle in the land of Goshen, close enough to Joseph, but far enough away from the pagan Egyptians so that their idol worship would not rub off on them. This is how God preserved that family from whence Jesus would one day come. An example of turning evil into good. Because of Jesus, you and I and countless millions of people have been saved from spiritual starvation and from eternal death in hell. For Jesus is the bread of life, and he has purchased life for you with his own blood. Judah's offer and Joseph's forgiveness shows us that God does not repay our sins as they deserve. Judah didn't steal the cup, but he offered to suffer for someone else's sin. Jesus didn't sin, but he suffers for yours and mine. If anyone had a reason to hold a grudge, it was Joseph. If anyone deserved to be punished, it was those brothers. But can't the same be said for us too? This portion of the gospel shows that God does not repay us as we deserve. You see, Joseph loved his brothers even after all they did to him. He wanted his brothers back in his life. He wanted them to be a united, loving family. And that's what God wants for all of us. God wants us to belong to him. He wants to hold us in the palm of his hand. And he wants us to love and serve him, just as Joseph wanted his brothers and his family close to him. So we see in today's text and in the last portion of the book of Genesis, wonderful examples of how God never leaves us on our own. He's constantly working to turn evil into good, as Jesus himself has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And as he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The greatest good is that God has given you a Savior. This church, your church, is your land of Goshen. It keeps you apart from the pagan world, and it keeps you close to God. He has given you Jesus, your brother, your substitute, your Judah. He's your bread of life, so that you don't have to starve yourself spiritually. And finally, Jesus is your Joseph, freely forgiving you because of his great mercy toward poor sinners. To Jesus be glory now and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.